All right, this morning I'm going to ask if you'll turn with me in your Bibles to Proverbs 31. We did a series at the beginning of the year in the book of Proverbs, and we've moved on, but I promised that we would return. And this morning we're coming back to the book of Proverbs, at least for today. We're going to look at Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 31. Verse 10. An excellent wife, who can find? For her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She looks for wool and flax, and she works with her hands in delight. She is like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hands grasp the spindle. It's talking about winding thread. Like they did in the old days. She extends her hand to the poor. She stretches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, "Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all." Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning, as we gather here on Mother's Day, we thank you for the godly women that you've placed into our lives, the mothers and grandmothers and aunts and just the different ones, Lord, that you have set before us as role models and examples who have expressed your love to us in countless ways. Lord, we want just to thank you for them and for the gift of family this morning. Lord, as we examine these verses, Lord, show us how we can appreciate our wives as men, and how as children we can appreciate our mothers. Lord, help us never to take them for granted. Lord, help us to strive to be that kind of spouse to each other, husbands and wives. Lord, we thank you. We pray you would guide us and open our eyes as we look at your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, there's an expression. Behind every good man is a great woman. Yeah, a better woman. And I think that's there's a lot of wisdom in that saying. It's often true. I think if we were to take a poll of all the guys here today who are married and say, what do you think about your wife? And they would say, I wouldn't be where I am today without her. You know, I would not be where I am today if it weren't for her. She's an encourager and a support and a source of strength, and I need that. And I thought I would check that out this week, and I just pulled some random books off my bookshelf. And authors will often, in the first few pages, dedicate the book to someone special. Maybe someone who's helped them out along the way. Sometimes it's a colleague or a professor or a friend. And guess who both of these books? I just kind of randomly picked them off, and I didn't have to pull out a whole bunch. These are like the first two that I grabbed. Guess who they're both dedicated to? Their wives. Yeah, and it's pretty neat. And this one, he says, "To my wife Kathy, for the love, family, home, and friendship for the Lord has graced us to share." You know, and he's saying to the world, I want the world to know that I appreciate her and that you have meant that much to me. And in this one, he's even more
goes into a little bit more detail. And it's, this one's all in bold, so he really, really means it. It's all capitals. On this, our 30th wedding anniversary, I dedicate this book to my wife, Denilyn. You are God's gift of grace in my life. Every room seems empty if you are not in it. And again, you know, he's saying this to the whole world. I want the world to know how much she means to me and how lost I would be without her. And, you know, they're saying these works are not an individual effort, but a joint accomplishment. I couldn't do it without my wife. The person that you choose to marry, if the Lord leads you into matrimony, is going to make a profound impact on your life. This is one of the most important decisions that a young person will ever make. Who will you marry? What man or what woman? It's more important than a career. It's more important than deciding where you're going to live. It's more important than buying a house. Perhaps the only decision of greater consequence is whether or not you'll accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. Guys, if you choose well and marry a godly woman, she will help you to become the man that God wants you to be. Ladies, if you choose well and marry a godly husband, he will help you to become the woman that God wants you to be. Together, you will build a loving home. Your children will find positive examples to follow. And even though you face all kinds of challenges and trials throughout your life, you'll be off to a great start and will be in a good position to overcome them together with the help of the Lord. And that's the theme of our passage this morning in Proverbs 31, choosing a godly spouse. As I mentioned, we did a study of the book of Proverbs not long ago, and we saw that it is a book of wisdom. Much of the book is written from the perspective of a father, offering sage advice to his son and to all the sons and daughters of Israel. He's showing them how to live a good and successful life, success as defined by God and not the world. And here the final chapter, it's interesting, it's written from the perspective of a mother who's giving that sage advice to her son. The first verse of the chapter, we didn't read, but it says, the words of King Lemuel, the oracle which his mother taught him. We don't know anything about this King Lemuel, who he was, when he lived, where he came from. Some say it's maybe a pseudonym for Solomon. That's possible. Scripture tells us that Solomon not only wrote many proverbs, but he collected the sayings of the wise, and this could be one of those. Either way, we see the concern of a mother who wanted her son to consider the type of woman that he was going to marry. We can almost hear her saying, now Lemuel, don't just go out on a date with any girl. You know, just think about the kind of woman that you want to marry, the kind of spouse that you're looking for. Pay attention to her character. Think about her heart. And Lemuel, if you find someone special, don't take her for granted. You just hear her saying that. Lemuel's mother wanted her son to meet someone who would bring out the best in him, who would fill their home with laughter and joy, who would be a faithful companion, and with whom he could share enduring love. For all of this to take place, it was vitally important that he choose a woman who fears the Lord. Of course, the same principle would also apply for young women. If Lemuel had sisters, I'm sure their mother would have said the very same thing to them. Be careful about the type of man that you are going to marry. Look for someone who shares your faith, who fears the Lord. These words of wisdom continue to speak to us today. They ring true in our age just as much as they always have. And there are many women, many mothers who pray for their children. You know, Lord, you know, guide them to the right spouse. May it be someone who will help them to follow you. And as we look at these verses this morning, we see some of the qualities of a godly woman, of a virtuous wife, of a mother who fears the Lord. We also see that a husband, if he finds a woman like this, should not take her for granted. First of all, in the passage, we're shown that a virtuous wife is busy. There's never a dull moment around the house. She is always on the move. Charity and I used to think that we were busy, and then we had kids. And now we are starting to understand the definition of that word for the very first time.
The wife in these verses is busy tending to the needs of her family. She's industrious. She's hardworking. And we see all kinds of examples of that. Look at verse 13. It says, she looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. The flax, I guess, is a plant that's used to make linen for clothing. And that's one of the concerns of a mother. She wants to make sure that her kids and her husband always look presentable when they go outside the house. If it were up to us guys, we'd probably say to our kids, hey, you're fine. You know, just turn that shirt inside out. You can go a few more days. No problem. But that's not going to fly with mom. She makes sure that the kids look right, that the husband doesn't go out with a shirt, you know, stained. You know, he doesn't think about that, but she does. Whether she makes them herself, like the woman in the passage here, or whether she knows where to go bargain shopping, she makes sure that they have something to wear. Verse 14 says, she is like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. Maybe you picture mom going down the aisle of the grocery store with a shopping cart and the list in hand, and she's on a mission, and she knows what the family needs. She knows where to go to get it. Meijer is having a 10 for 10, or Community Market is having a special this week. And just like those ships that are coming and going, bringing supplies into the port, she does her very best to make sure that the cupboards are full, the fridge is well stocked. She makes sure that her family has sustenance that they need. Verse 15 says, she rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household. Mom's often the first one to wake up in the morning, and she's often the last one to go to bed at night. Now, it's not that she requires less sleep than everyone else. That's not it at all. She would rather be sleeping in. But there are things that need to be done that require her attention. There are little mouths that need to be fed. They need breakfast. And at night, the little ones need to be tucked in and read a story. And clothes need to be laid out for them for the next day. They say a woman's work is never done. A mother's work is never done. And that's very true. You know, I've had different jobs over the years where I've had to punch in with a time clock, the old style time clock where you pull the card out and you put it in and it makes that, you know, click, click, and it stamps the time that you walk through the door. And then when you're done, you put it back in on your way out and you click, click, and it stamps the time that you leave, you know, a 10 hour, 8 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours, whatever it is. But you know, moms, they don't punch in and punch out. They're always on duty. They're always on call. They're always doing something, always working. And if they're not working, they're thinking about the work that needs to be done. And by the way, when mom goes to sleep at night, in the middle of the night, 3 o'clock in the morning, when there's a sound of a little voice crying at the top of the stairs, Mom, I had a bad dream. Now, dads can sometimes program themselves to sleep through that, but moms hear it, and they respond, and they're up the stairs. They're always on call. They don't punch out. They don't say, hey, you know, I clock in at, you know, at 7 in the morning or 8 in the morning. You know, see me then. They're always on call. And we could keep going through the passage and see some of the different ways that a godly woman ministers to the needs of her family. She's very multi-talented, and she wears all kinds of hats. Moms are taxi drivers, shuttling kids back and forth to school or youth group or soccer practice. She's a nutritionist who feeds healthy meals to her children. If it were up to dad again, it'd probably be cereal every meal, but not mom. She's creative. She's a sanitation engineer, cleaning up for everyone. A seamstress, patching those old jeans with holes in the knees. A financial advisor, trying to make that budget stretch as far as it possibly can. She's a fashion consultant, telling her husband, oh, you better go change your tie. That does not go with your shirt in any way, shape, or form. She's a cattle rancher, herding everyone to the proper destination in the morning. The kids off to school and the husband off to work. And there's 100 other roles that she fills. Every day brings a new challenge, whether she's helping a son build a volcano for the school science fair, or going door to door with a daughter to sell Girl Scout cookies. Stepping outside of her comfort zone just goes with the territory. And whatever the challenge might be, she always finds a way. Raising a family takes a lot of work. It's the kind of work that you don't resent because you love the people that you're ministering to. But it can still be exhausting. And it can still be overwhelming at times.
I saw a great cartoon here recently where in one caption or one block, you know, the parent is sitting there in the recliner saying, "Finally, the kids are all asleep. Now I can spend the next few hours of the night before I go to bed doing what I want, reading, relaxing." And then the next box says 5 minutes later, and it shows the parent snoring. And we can identify with that. That's how it goes. It's difficult for moms to make time for herself because there's so many people relying on her, so many people demanding her attention. And so as a godly husband, guys, we would do well to lend a hand, to let her know that she is not in it alone. We can pitch in around the house. Don't expect her to do it all. If she's the one who normally does the dishes, then one day surprise her and wash them all up and put them away before she even has a chance. If she's the one who normally cooks dinner, tell her, "Hey, tonight I got it covered." And try your best to make something that she'll enjoy. Marriage is a partnership. It's about working together as a team. And make sure to give her time for herself. She needs that. Give her permission. Say, "Hey, you know, why don't you go out with your friend? You know, I know you think that you have to be here tonight, but no, it's okay. I got it covered. I'll hold down the fort. I'll make sure the kids don't burn down the house. And go, unwind, have fun." Maybe every once in a while arrange for a babysitter and take her out on a date. Let her know that you appreciate all that she does. Moms don't do what they do for applause, but it does help knowing that all of her effort and energy is not taken for granted. And so the virtuous wife is busy, and the good husband appreciates her. The passage also shows us that a virtuous wife is caring. She has a heart of compassion, a heart of concern for the well-being of others, and not just her family, but also others that she comes across, that the Lord places into her life. We see that in verse 20. It says, "She extends her hand to the poor, and she stretches out her hands to the needy." Now, when God causes someone to cross our path who's facing some kind of hardship, we can either maybe turn a blind eye, make excuses, and say, "Well, that's too bad, but I've got my own stuff going on, and you know, I've got my own family to care about, and there's nothing I can do," and just kind of push that away. Or we can do what we can to help alleviate that suffering. The godly woman chooses to extend her hand, and she shows compassion. And maybe she has a son who comes over, her son has a friend who comes over to play one afternoon after school. And then as he's getting ready to leave, it's rainy and kind of cold, and he's getting ready to walk out the door, and he's wearing short sleeves. And she says, "Honey, don't you have a coat?" And the friend says, "No, I don't have a coat. You know, we don't have the money." She says, "Really? Wait there." And she disappears in the back room for a while, and she comes out with a coat, you know, that maybe she was going to give to her son for a birthday. She says, "Here, you know, we want you to have this." You know, and she sees that need. I mean, he's not her child, but she's a mother, and she sees that need, and she does what she can to meet it. Or maybe her daughter comes home from school one day and says, "Well, there's a girl that sits at our table who didn't have anything to eat today. You know, she just didn't have any lunch money." And so the next day, the mom packs extra in her daughter's lunch so that her daughter can share if the little girl doesn't have lunch the next day. It's those kinds of things. She notices the other kids, you know, the one kid that doesn't have the money to go on the trip, and maybe the family can help out. Maybe there's a neighbor that's struggling in some way, maybe an elderly neighbor that's having trouble with chores around the house, and so she takes her kids over, and they spend an afternoon serving. Maybe mom volunteers to serve in a soup kitchen with a group from church, and then she gets an idea. You know, I could go by myself, you know, with a group, and that'd be easier. Or I could take my kids with me, and they could learn the value of serving others. And the kids aren't excited about it. They would rather be home playing video games and watching TV. And they maybe complain the whole way, but she knows that it'll be worthwhile in the end. They'll remember that, and it's teaching them a valuable lesson. Sometimes extending a hand to others means making a sacrifice. Instead of going out to eat for pizza, you know, they give that $20 to the neighbor who's struggling. And so they have to raid the fridge for leftovers. But that's okay. They're willing to do that. And not only is she willing to show compassion to strangers, but a godly woman shows compassion and care to her children and to her family.
One example of that is with her words. Verse 26 says, she opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She just always seems to know what to say, whether it's a word of encouragement or a word of correction, a word of advice. You know, her little one is playing in the little league game, and he strikes out when it's his turn up to bat, and his team loses the game, and he is bummed out, and he's ready to quit. He throws his glove towards the garbage, you know, and says, I'm done. I'm not going back. I'm not playing baseball ever again. And he's really down. And so she sits there beside him and listens and puts her arm around him and says, you know, honey, I just hate to see you quit because you love baseball. And remember last week when you caught the winning catch and how fun that was? Well, honey, everybody has a bad game. Even the professional baseball players strike out every once in a while. Where would they be if they had quit? She just encourages him. She's there to listen. And he remembers those talks. One of the ways that her husband can show appreciation to her is by listening, letting her know that he cares. She's always thinking about the needs of others, and he needs to look out for her needs. Just showing that you're there is important. One Christian author says, I enjoy actively listening to my wife. She has taught me much about God and about life. I haven't relinquished my responsibility as a spiritual leader in our home, but we mutually enjoy encouraging each other, spiritually and intellectually. No day is complete unless we've had an opportunity to share new insights with each other. He says, I'm never a loser when I give her my undivided attention. He asks, why are so many couples failing in marriage? Maybe because they have not taken the time to cultivate their relationship, to listen to each other, and to develop common interests. The good husband strengthens his marriage by taking the time to listen to his wife. He respects her opinions and heeds her advice. Proverbs 31 also shows us that a virtuous wife is positive when she thinks about the future. She's confident. She has hope. She has anticipation that good days are to come. And we see that in verse 25. Verse 25 says, strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. One commentator puts it this way, she laughs at whatever troubles the future may bring, because a woman of character and strength is prepared to face whatever comes. You know, that godly confidence comes not just because she has that inner strength in herself, but it comes from God. And she trusts in the Lord, and she knows that even when she's not there with her children, and even when she can't be by their side, God is with them. And yes, they're her children, but they're also God's children. And he's not going to leave them alone. He doesn't take a day off. He doesn't become so busy tending to other business in the universe that he leaves our side. He's always beside us through all the struggles we face. And no matter how big the problems that we go through might be, we're secure in his arms. And she knows that. And that gives her confidence. She does her best to look out for her husband and children, but she knows that in the moments when she can't be there, God is. Yes, she's deeply concerned for their well-being, and the challenges that they face weigh heavily on her heart. But she spends time in prayer on her knees, casting those cares and their anxieties on the Lord, and that's where she finds peace. You know, Charity and I are just starting to experience that, you know, some of those concerns that you have for your children. Up to this point, they've either been with us or with someone that we completely trust 24 hours a day. Pretty soon, Ariana, this fall, is going to be going off to kindergarten. And we're going to start this whole new phase. And I'm sure that a parent could go crazy worrying about all the different things. You know, what happens if she falls down at recess and gets hurt? I won't be there. What happens if somebody at school picks on her? We won't be there. What happens if she has trouble in class? We won't be there. You know, we could go crazy worrying about all of those different things. And how wonderful it is to know that even though we aren't there, God is. And he's going to take care of her. And he's going to look after her and watch over her. A godly woman is confident knowing that she's started out those little ones on the right path. She's done everything she could to teach them the love of Christ. And so her hopes and dreams are that they would grow to become godly young men and godly young women. She wants the Lord to do wonderful things in their lives.
Every couple faces rough patches and trials, but the woman who fears the Lord is confident about the future, and she becomes a source of inspiration to her kids and to her husband. Maybe her husband becomes discouraged. Maybe he gets laid off at work, and he's down and depressed, and she cries with him, and they spend time talking. And she says, you know, we'll get through this. We'll get through it together. We'll get through it with the Lord. The confidence of a godly woman brings that calm assurance to her family, and she teaches them how to lean on the Lord. Here, oh, a week or so ago, we've been having, you know, some thunderstorms on and off, and we had that real bad thunderstorm that night, I don't know, a week or so ago, and there's that loud bolt of thunder that just kind of shook the house. And Charity and I looked at each other. We hadn't gone to bed yet, and we're just like, okay, wait for it. And here comes Shay down the stairs. The other two miraculously stayed sleeping, but she woke up, and she doesn't like thunderstorms. She hates thunderstorms. She's so scared of thunderstorms. And so, you know, we sat with her, and Charity put her arm on her back, and we actually sat on the couch and opened up the curtains and looked at the storm. And at first she was scared. She said, no. And we said, no, you're safe in here. You know, it's fun to watch the thunderstorm. The thunderstorm can be beautiful, and you know, you don't have to be afraid. And when she looked up and saw all our calm faces, you know, that we were enjoying ourselves, that we were okay, that you could just see her face just change as she looked up and watched us. And pretty soon she was having fun too. Oh, look at that lightning bolt. That was a big one. And she took her cues from us. And that godly mother who has that calm assurance in the Lord shares that with her family, with her husband when he needs it, with her kids when they need it. We all need that person to lean on from time to time, that person that helps us keep perspective. No one is strong all the time, and she's not strong all the time, and her husband is not strong all the time, but they're there to lean on each other, to remind one another that God is with them and that it will be okay. Guys, there are going to be times when she needs to lean on us, and you need to be the rock that she can go to remind her that it's okay. One of the best things a couple can do is to pray together. You know, maybe there's those tough nights when neither one can sleep because there's this big problem weighing on their minds. And the husband, you know, guys, just reach over, grab her hand, and pray with her. Ask the Lord for the peace that surpasses all comprehension. Well, there's certainly a lot more that we could discover from this passage. You know, we haven't even begun to mine the treasures of this passage, but these are some pretty important points. I love the closing verses. In verse 28, it says, her children rise up and bless her. Her husband also, and he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Now, if the Lord has brought a woman like this, guys, into your life, you need to cherish her. You need to appreciate her. You need to show her that she's special to you. And as the passage begins, that she is more valuable than all the jewels, all the diamonds, all the rubies in the world. Her value is surpassing all of that. Tell her that she's beautiful in your eyes. And her beauty is greater than what the world tends to look at when it talks about beauty. You know, the world tends to focus on the outward appearance, you know, the things that are external, that fade over time. But if you love her, if you've fallen in love with her heart, then her beauty is going to grow and grow and grow in your eyes as the years go on. Praise her often. Thank her for all that she does. Express your gratitude for being there, for walking beside you, for enriching your life, for being a support and a source of strength. Guys, you know, sometimes we're not very creative. You know, I don't know what goes on. When we're dating, you know, we have all these great ideas, but then we get married and our minds, like that romantic side of our minds for some of us just kind of turns off. Well, guys, turn it back on, you know. Get creative. Maybe write a love note and leave it on the counter for her. Post a love song on her Facebook page or make a mixtape. When was the last time? Do young people make mixtapes anymore? No. You can find an old cassette somewhere and make a mixtape for her with the songs.
that will tell her how special she is. Don't say, "Oh, she knows how I feel." Don't do that. Yeah, maybe she does. She probably does. But it's still good to hear it. Tell her. I want to challenge the young men and the young ladies who are here today who are not married, but who hope to be so one day. Think about the qualities and the characteristics of the person that you'd like to spend the rest of your life with. What kind of wife, guys, are you looking for? What kind of husband, gal, are you looking for? Are you thinking about that? Don't just go out with anyone. Make sure it's someone who fears the Lord. If you're a parent or a grandparent or your children and grandchildren are still young, maybe spend some time praying about their future, about the spouse that they will one day meet. Pray for that person. Pray that the Lord would guide them in making good decisions. Maybe you're here this morning and you realize, if you're married, that you haven't been the type of husband that you should be, or that you haven't been a supportive wife as you should be. But realize that today is a new day, and ask the Lord for a new start, and ask Him to breathe fresh life into your marriage, and He will. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You again this morning for the gift of family, for the blessing of marriage. Lord, You are the author of marriage, and You have designed it to be a blessing to us and a source of strength, to provide a secure home where children can be raised. Lord, You have also designed it to tell the world about the kind of love that You have for us. And Lord, we all admit that none of us are perfect at expressing our appreciation to one another. And Lord, we can all grow as we share our love for our wives and our children, and help us to grow every day. Lord, help me and help us men to become the husbands that You want us to be, to love our wives, to love our children, to be a godly leader, to be an encourager, to love them with the love of Christ. Lord, we pray that You would keep our families strong. And where our families sometimes go through struggles, Lord, help us, guide us through them. Where there's healing that may need to be made, Lord, heal those situations. Lord, we do pray that You would strengthen us. We pray for our children. We thank You for the wonderful children that we have in this church. And it just brings a smile to us every time we see their energy and their excitement. And we pray, Lord, that they would grow up knowing that You love them and that they are special and they are loved. Lord, we thank You again for the gift of Your love, for being Your sons and daughters. We pray this in the name of our Savior, Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.